B-Pod Studios.
To make a great sports talk radio show work, you got to know when to talk.
Did you take anything specifically away from that game?
And when to listen.
What did we really learn about this team yesterday?
John, that is the exact question Rich just asked.
Thanks.
Is that right?
For listening.
How did I miss that?
To Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's been a general understanding that you know, Tuca has to make a decision of his health first and foremost, and when he's able to do that officially and declare himself that, you know, this is what he wants to do and play, then you know, we'll find the common ground. I don't think we have not hidden from that fact that if he indeed he is healthy and wants to play, that he's likely to be a part of our group.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I had the porno.
Here we go. It's Tuca time. It's Tuca time. It's Tuca time. It's Tuca. 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 Tuca time. It's Tuca time. It's Tuca time. It's Tuca. 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 Tuca.
I'm going to be so hungover at work tomorrow. I'm not going to do anything.
Is it, though? Is it about to be Tuca time once again, according to what we heard yesterday? That was a little bit of with all the crap that was going on, I really didn't quite expect to get any Tuca-esque news, but not only did...
Well, but remember, you have opportunity. The media had opportunity with Don Sweeney because Bruce Cassidy in protocol, so it was wide open to ask every question, and Tuca had been... The difference being, Rich, is that Tuca was out there with the other goalies
for
the first time.
Practicing.
Dan just mentioned something. McDonough had a report, too, over the weekend, right? That Tuca's maybe interested in coming back at some point, right?
He is. There's no... Listen.
Sean McDonough did?
Yeah.
You mean the boring guy who used to do Monday Night Football?
Yeah, he's doing...
He's doing hockey on ESPN. Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
The reality is this.
Remember not to watch.
Tuca wasn't interested.
Oh, man.
If
that's
he wasn't interested,
horrible.
He wouldn't be practicing and rehabbing
sure.
as hard as he is.
And we've been saying that.
He's still a ways away. Okay. We've been saying that.
But what I did find interesting was it wasn't just him talking openly about Tuca Rask, but his criticism of the current goalies.
They've been okay. You know, I think both of them have really, really strong pockets of games and other times where they haven't played quite as well as they would like in some situations. And, you know, we have a higher expectations for everybody in that sense. So I don't think Linus and Jeremy would say it any differently than I am. You know, it's a small sample size for Jeremy. We've got some growing pains associated with that position. I would say it's a little more the inconsistency than anything. You know, we're still in a good place with where our goaltending and our depth is overall, and if we have to address something, we will.
All right, Billy. So they're not gonna carry three goalies,
no.
And you're not gonna send Swayman back.
I wouldn't be so sure about that because I would think he's waiver clear. He has no issue going through. And let's not listen. All right, we're trying to predict the future here. It feels like Tuca is assuming his health stays good, the hip is good and everything.
That's what Sweeney basically said.
Yeah, I mean, the lines have been there the whole time. They haven't denied it at all.
Right. He'll be back assuming everything's right. When? I don't know. Health-wise, we just don't know. Let's assume the beginning of Feb. I don't know. And you've seen, let's consider, worst case.
They're not going to carry three goalies. What's
they're not going to, which Swayman then would go to the American League, in my opinion.
That would just be
not
the
if he
worst
gets the
idea. He's playing better than Ullmark.
Okay, but let's if the team ends up being like they are, continue to be this up average up and down, battling for a playoff spot, but type of thing, and you want to get the kid developed for the future, use the term future of the organization mm-hmm. before we went to break, Johnny.
Yep.
It's not the worst thing to give him more time in the American Hockey League.
Oh, man.
But we're playing the if game right now. I mean, by that time, who the hell knows where it could be? But you're right. They would probably do it meaning three goalies.
Yeah.
For a short period of time and then say, or maybe even not. Maybe they would just say, depending where the kid is, or, listen, we love you. You are the future. Go do it the right way and get more training, get more shots, get more regular games. Like, again, if we're playing the hypothetical, there's 30 games left in the American League and there's 30 games in the NHL. He's probably going to play at most 15 in the NHL
and
he might get 25 in the American League.
Billy, are we also once again looking at the wrong place to be using our resources than goalie? Is it, I mean, are they really even so bad that you have to bring in Tuukka Rask?
Because
one would argue that the people in front of him have been playing poorly.
There's no question that that is part of the equation. Absolutely.
This is a mess. This is all a mess. All I got from yesterday is that everything is a mess.
It feels bad, right?
It's been a tough couple of days.
It's been a tough couple of, listen, take this. I'm not Mr. Happy. You know that. I'm not Tony Robbins, but I'm trying to be positive.
I understand.
Take the positive. Find the positive. And this is the opportunity to
What is the positive?
Reshape your franchise, your identity a bit.
Okay, let's talk about that.
So how do you do that by bringing back Tuukka?
Well, no, what I'm saying is make a trade.
Just threw it back to 5 years ago.
Use this DeBrus thing to try and make a more, he used the term hockey trade. And I'm taking that as a bigger deal than just one for nothing. I think he's going to try for a bigger deal.
Hockey trade doesn't mean draft picks, right? I agree with that.
I think that's what he's going to try for. Okay. And to try and bring in something that helps re-identify your team. Now, the Tuukka thing, if he comes back and they say, and it sure as heck feels like he will, and you have an opportunity to help your, he's going to sign for, when I say minimum, I don't know if that means the actual NHL minimum. It's going to be compared to what he was earning, it's going to be nothing. So now you take the average of your two goaltenders between Omark and him, and you have more than enough, meaning wiggle. You can use a lot of that other money for something else. Listen.
To me, real quick, I'm just sorry. To me, if you're keeping Omark instead of Swayman, there's so many benefits to keeping Swayman up there. The benefits being, obviously, A, he's playing better. B, you want this kid to be the future. Let him get his feet wet, not in Providence or in the AHL. Let him get his feet wet at an NHL level where he's been actually performing.
Well, and I think some of your frustration is
baggage.
Some of your frustration is the reason they're keeping Ullmark feels like it's more because of the contract and less because of the play.
It would be completely why at that point.
Yeah.
But I think I get what you guys are saying. I think, again, we're trying to predict the future. We don't know what the situation's going to be at that point. God willing, both goalies are playing awesome. Hockey gods willing, and it's a real great argument to keep him up here. But I'm saying if it stays, I'm just trying to say what I've seen in this season so far. If it stays with this up and down, back and forth, this, that, I say get him. The goaltender position is so freaking important. A little bit of pause and a little less pressure and a little more, we love you. You are it. Do it. We're going to keep doing it the right way. We're not going to force something. Mm-hmm. Might go a long way in the end. Yes, Johnny.
Okay, here, the overall view of this team, regardless of whether or not Swayman's playing well or whether or not you inject Tuukka back into a goaltending rotation, is that even with everybody healthy and playing well, this team is still up and down, back and forth.
Yep.
And it also seems as though everybody's top game, the core's top game, is behind them. It doesn't seem like they're accelerating towards a higher level. It seems like they're down from last year. And I equate this to the core of some Celtic teams that have aged, and either you make a big trade and point towards the future, or you keep them all together and you slowly slide towards the bottom of the league and push your future off further.
I would counter that with the core. Are we just talking about the Bergeron line?
No, we're talking about the players now that you're counting on to perform well to get you into the playoffs and buy a couple of rounds.
The middle, especially the middle six, that part.
It hasn't
been consistent nearly enough. You're absolutely right. So can you shuffle the deck a little bit? And you do have money, even if without all this, you have some money to be able to do a little stuff if the trade deadline's important.
Is that enough, though?
I don't think it is.
I think you're rearranging deck chairs.
Let's
go to Josh on line one. Josh, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich with Billy Jaffe.
Boys, listen, that 2015 draft in itself is a fireable offense. And then you want to go talk about everything else that's happened since. Like getting rid of Vladar, you need to put a team in front of the goalie for them to do anything. Like Corey Crawford is, Corey Crawford won't touch it. There's a team in front of him. I don't want them to do anything until they get rid of Sweeney
Are you in the men's room, Josh?
Is he getting fed takes?
You're at a job site. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. But I get, Josh, I get your sentiment. Yeah, I mean, he thinks that, you know, Sweeney's got to go. It depends. I mean, this could be a very telling year on how things turn out. This is a make or break, not make or break. This could be a break year for Don Sweeney.
I think a lot of things are going to be evaluated. They absolutely have been and are going to be evaluated throughout the org.
Well, let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what's up, man? You are on Toucher and Rich with Billy Jaffe. That's Frank. Let's go to Ryan, if you don't mind, Dan, on line three. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Appreciate you having me on. I just wanted to talk. I know one big thing that they've been talking about is having too many passengers on the team, which I think Jake definitely fits that category. But I don't know if you guys have been talking about maybe the team kind of tuning out Cassidy. I know if you caught Taylor Hall's intermission interview, he kind of was saying how it doesn't really matter who's behind the bench. It's up to the players, kind of hinting. I was wondering if this is something that you think is significant moving forward, because I think maybe a coaching change would be something that could spark this team.
Thanks, Ryan. I think that's the last of your problems right now. I think Cassie's a good coach, and I think that comment right there, as you stated, it sounds like a personal accountability thing by Taylor Hall, and I like that.
Look, you cover basketball, you guys do the others. Wouldn't you say that 99% of the players would say the same thing? Meaning,
yeah,
especially as a veteran.
Yeah.
And it's not like Joe, we're using Joe Sacco as the interim coach while Butch is out. It's not like he hasn't been with the Bruins for a long time.
Yeah.
And they know his voice. I think what Taylor was saying there is we know our system. We know what is expected of us, in the sense of it's just a different voice calling out line changes right now.
Well, I think the one thing that Wallach was kind of hinting around, and he's right, is that is it going to be time to do what the Celtics did in the final days of, like, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett?
I think this year is going to be a big example of that could happen.
In other words, will guys like Brad Marchand and potentially Patrice Bergeron, you wouldn't get the same amount, but I mean, maybe a contender would give you something at the end of the trade deadline. Is it going to be worth it if this team is still as stagnant as it is?
Identify the guys.
To make a huge move and have to get rid of. Listen, I love Brad Marchand.
I understand what you're saying. Is it time to
trade,
blow it up?
Not blow it up, because you still have good young
core pieces. If you're getting rid of Brad Marchand, you're blowing it up, Rich. You're blowing it up. You are. If you're getting rid of Brad.
Not as bad as it did with the Celtics, but I understand
what
you're saying.
To do that at trade deadline. You're not, because you won't get nearly as much. I mean,
that's an off-season move.
There again is a mega move. I mean, those are major deals that usually happen traditionally around draft, NHL draft, you know, the offseason there. That's something. We're playing this hypothetical. And it's not an invalid question. I'm getting it while you're asking it. But right now, let's get through the DeBrus situation. Let's get through Tuca. And then I think you understand. And by the way, I said through this weekend, I would have a much better feel for this team. It doesn't feel fun right now in the last 48 hours.
No, it's been just awful.
But the whole season has been back and forth.
It has been.
Looking for some positive signs. This team to go on a roll to give some positive feelings to the fan base. They haven't done that.
No, and not as much. No, they've beaten everybody they should have beaten until last night, meaning teams below them. Right, they were like 9-1 or 10-1 to that point, and the teams above them, except for Florida, they haven't been able to put it all together. But talking a little bit with players, again, we have so little access, but also hearing what they have to say. Mm-hmm. Certain players say, we still believe, but we know that we have to figure some things out, but we still know that we are good enough to do something here. And I give them the trust, because they've been in that room, etc. However, now... after this week, I mean, it feels like, this is what I don't love right now. It feels like every game is a must win, and we're just 20 into the season, because you can't live like that as an NHL.
It's hard to make up ground.
It's not only hard to make up ground, it's too tiring to play that way in any season.
This is going to sound ridiculous. I just want to be entertained. And these games are not fun to watch. Like, that's, I know that sounds crazy, but it's one thing to be bad, but the ultimate sin to be bad and just not be worth watching.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars, serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Well, they're not... Listen, here's... I'll get... skewed. They're not bad. You know, we have a vision. We have a skewed vision as to what is bad in this city. We do.
It's true.
Look at the rest of the league. And that doesn't mean that we should accept, we being fans should, and broadcasters and radio, mediocrity. But what I'm saying is, you want bad, go look at some, look at the route of the rest of the other league and other sports. And
I think
everything.
It's okay to demand better because this organization is not, you know, the Coyotes. Like this,
of course,
you know,
makes Boston the best.
Sure.
The best. The fans are, I'm not saying it's because I'm on the air. The fans are the best because they're brutally honest. They're passionate. They're nuts. And I love it. I've loved every minute that I've been here dealing with the fans.
They're no Revolution fans.
Well, come on, there are. But anyway, listen. I think
never gets old. Never.
Got to get through this DeBrus situation. Let's see if they can alter the identity. Perhaps a bit and make something.
Every time, Jaffe, I mention, you know, possibly blowing it up. And I love Brad Marchand. I would never want him to not be part of this team. But then again, I loved Paul Pierce. And they ended up getting a boatload for a guy like Paul Pierce. But every time I mention that, yeah, you know, trade him, get some draft picks. Someone always says this, and it's a great point. If you blow it up and compile a bunch of draft picks, do you trust Sweeney to draft after that 2015 draft? I mean, these are good points. These are good points. All right, well, Billy Jaffe. Listen, I'm not as down on watching this team as it made it sound like. I still watch them, and I'm still hoping upon hope we get some sort of glimmer.
Just signs of life.
Signs of life. And listen, where you're going to see those signs of life is going to be on Nesson with Billy Jaffe.
Listen, we all want him to win. We all want him to do great. I'm agreeing with you. Like, you know, last night's game, they didn't get to the net front enough. Nedeljkovic was great.
Yeah, they got a billion shots, but not a lot of
high perimeter
shots.
And it's been a common theme. Yeah. Inside the dots, get to there more. The guys want it. Wanting it, though, doesn't equate winning, and we all want them to win more. They're going to have to do more to win. Now we just got to get through this weekend, find a way to go. They're already down 0-1 and 0, go 1-1-1, mm-hmm. and get through it, see what happens with Jake, get Brad back, and let's obviously hope. Last thing, you know, the Bruce Cassidy COVID thing, let's hope. I mean, he's got to continue testing. I don't know if it's one positive, and then we got to wait and see. I'm not sure about details there, mm-hmm. but let's hope that nobody else on the team gets it. We've seen other teams in the NHL go through this.
Yeah.
And it has been tough. And by the way, what do the Bees do if, God forbid, they start getting it? You know, do they have to...
Well, with Providence shut down, like, what
do they have to call up guys from the coast, from the main team?
Maybe Pawalikin. You know, maybe he can, you know, grab some skates.
Lace up the skates.
Sure. Right, but Jack Edwards, well, then he can take
not.
On Stahl.
Let's
one-on-one.
Hope not. I'm knocking on. I'm trying. I'm hitting my head, knocking on
How about
wood.
You? Could you lace them up? You think you can get up
sure.
there?
Oh, sure. Come
my
on,
God.
Bro.
I'm awful. I'm fat. I'm old, and I have a shoulder that can't even hold a pencil.
right. You can bench press six Wallachs. What are you talking about?
Six fat. I'm
going to tell
you.
That's how we measure it now.
This is fantastic. Yes. This is the longest I've ever been. It's amazing what bad news does for Billy.
It's true.
You're
bad news. Billy.
Don't sell yourself short, Billy. We love seeing you. Come on now.
All right. Well, listen, if you want to be
imagine
like Billy.
Imagine if I had to go get a colonoscopy today.
That would be the responsible thing to do there, Billy, if you read what the doctors are saying. Well, do what Billy Jaffe did, not colonoscopy, but sharpen your hockey skates at home with the Sparks Sharpener. Beat the Holiday Rush. Order today at sparkshockey.com. sparxhockey.com.
It is awesome.
That's sparxhockey.com. Use promo code SportsHub at checkout for free shipping. Billy, good to have you.
Great to see you guys.
And hopefully next time there'll be better news. Yep. All right. We will be right back after John Wall's headline.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, the Bruins took a tough loss last night. They outshot Detroit 42-16 and came up short 2-1 at TD Garden. Bruce Cassidy was placed in health and safety protocols during the day, so assistant Joe Sacco took over for him in this one and endured a very frustrating evening.
I thought we had some good quality chances. I thought we tried to get inside in the game tonight. We played inside the dots in the offensive zone. You know, so unfortunately, we weren't able to finish off some of those chances, some of those looks.
Mark Stahl's goal with 8:27 left was the difference. The Bruins' next game tomorrow night in Nashville. Cassidy, a question mark. The Celtics will entertain Philadelphia at TD Garden tonight. Jaylen Brown questionable as he continues to manage his hamstring. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. LeBron James was placed in health and safety protocols last night and did not play for the Lakers in their win. Red Sox are busy yesterday. They signed free agent pitcher James Paxton to a one-year $10 million contract with a two-year club option. They've also signed Ryan Brazier to a one-year deal, tendered contracts to a number of players, including Rafael Devers, Hunter Renfro, and Nick Pivetta, and signed Rob Refsnyder to a minor league contract. And after posting the best MLS regular season record ever, the New England Revolution lost in the Eastern Conference semifinals last night on their own home pitch to New York City FC. They lost on penalty kicks after playing through overtime to a 2-2 draw. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the Nines every Sunday for Football Frenzy. Enjoy great dining deals like $5.99 full-size appetizers and 59-cent bone-in wings and your chance to win game tickets. The 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
Boston's most listened to sports station. You don't have to be in Boston to listen. Download the Sports Hub app where you get your apps and listen anywhere to Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm not overly surprised that this eventually came out. I've been in the know for this for quite some time, and we've been trying to look at a hockey trade situation that would help the Boston Bruins, and as I do my job, and accommodate with what Jake thinks best. And there's a balance there. That's the profession.
He talked to us this morning. He just said, I love you guys. This is something in my career that, you know, I'm at a crossroads, and he's going to have to do. But he's not a distraction at all. You know, it's almost better that it's out there. You know, you have a day to kind of digest that. And Jake's a great kid. He's got a lot of skill, and he's going to have a good career in this league.
That is the voice of Taylor Hall, and Don Sweeney as just a giant implosion of craptastic proportions happened with the Bruins over the last 48 hours. I mean, you can just go over everything. First of all, Marchand ends up getting a 3-game suspension for a slew foot that Jack Edwards says didn't happen. But real quick, before I get into those, we have Billy Jaffe in studio from Nesson. What is Jack Edwards?
Speaking of crap test, right?
Speaking of crap test, you're the cherry on top of the crap sundae today.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. What is Jack Edwards' deal with Mark Stahl? Yesterday, he was like all over him yesterday.
During the game, we have audio, but sometimes it's in and it's out, and meaning I have my earpiece in, and other times I don't.
So he at one point was saying about Mark Stahl, and he revisited it as well. He said, "Oh, look at the tough guy, Mark Stahl. No, knock him out." Or it was
Pastrnak went after.
They're in the scrum. Yeah,
yes. After who hit Riley, and Pastrnak got in there, and then Stahl came in after that. Exactly.
I don't know. You guys ask me about other people. I can't get into other people. I have a hard enough time getting into my head, let alone somebody else's head.
I just want to find out whether or not it was something that I didn't know about Mark Stahl that made him so pissed at him.
Or is it just Jack being Jack?
Or did this guy say something to Jack Edwards, you know, on the way into the
maybe
the,
that's,
the arena?
You hung out with Jack enough. I mean, you can think an educated guess.
I haven't seen Jack except in years.
That's right.
In the pandemic, like, Haven't seen him.
Didn't he broadcast from the studio for half a season?
But they're in their studio. And remember,
you don't walk down the hall and shake his hand.
Doors closed.
I mean, you guys do games down there during the pandemic. I wasn't walking down.
We weren't walking in. We weren't.
I came down and said hi.
We were all. You know, I haven't had a long conversation with a lot of people. It's freaking weird.
And I
have more conversation with you guys.
That's scary.
Than I do.
That's very scary.
Yeah. Well, you like us better. But the one thing about Jack, I defend him all the time. I like Jack Edwards. I think that he's somebody who, you know, people will crush him about stuff. I like the fact that he's a super homer. I like the fact that he, you know, is entertaining, as goofy as he
and
is.
And he's incredibly well prepared.
Yes. And he tweets out like all that crazy crap and the notes and stuff like that. But it works. I just thought it was really weird that, like, Mark Stahl, and it was kind of funny when Stahl ends up scoring that goal at the end. You know, you could tell that it almost killed
Jack
Edwards.
Did you see, by the way, Stahl went by the Bruins bench?
No.
And gave them something. See, somebody must have said something to Mark Stahl after he took that second minor when they were down, made it a 5-on-3.
Which was after the scrum and before the goal, yeah.
Right, which was, I would call that it was a hook, but you don't always get that call at 5-on-4, meaning to make it a 5-on-3.
Yeah.
Somebody must have said something to Mark Stahl after that goal was scored, then the Pastrnak goal to tie it up, because when he scored, he went by the bench and he gave them. And the Stahl brothers don't usually have that reputation.
Yeah.
And so he was giving it back to somebody on that bench.
Okay. All right. Well, then Jack maybe knows something that we don't know. It was just one of those moments where I couldn't figure out. Like, was I missing something? Was there some sort of history that I didn't know about between Stahl and one of the players?
I can't think of anything.
It was odd. All right, so this is like one of those days where it's almost like, you know, around the horn, not around the horn. Pardon the interruption, where she's just
talking about a line of things. You've got 90 seconds on an issue.
Do we start? Let's first start with Marchand. Let's start with the 3-game suspension for the slew foot. Where's your head on that?
My head, and I said this on the air yesterday, said this on the Morning Brew with Ray. Could I see one? Yeah, there has been a major antenna up for this, starting with PK Subban this year, doing it multiple times, all right? And then just recently, and I know that the league looked at this and used this, Kevin LeBanc, a player that plays for San Jose, did this against St. Louis and Tyler Bozak. Albeit, my eyes, different look to the play, but yet slew foot. So they use that. They use the whole, we're watching out for this dangerous play. And then we're also going to go back to 2015 when Brad Marchand did it on Derek Brassard, and which he did, there. I thought, okay, by the way, we did not talk about it in the game. The broadcast didn't. And when I say we missed it, we didn't see it as that. I didn't review it and review it like that. And then you keep looking at it and you slow it down frame by frame. Okay, if he caught his skate a bit, I thought it was guys battling. Skate was there. If the skate made contact, it's Brad, give him a game. Okay, I can see that. Two, when I say I can stomach it, I'm going to bite my tongue and be like, all right. Three, I'm like, all this is the league, it's a total reputation. His past, and you heard it in Brad's voice yesterday during his press conference.
Yeah.
When he went. To me, I use the term confessionals. I'm using a whatever facetious term. Didn't it feel like it when he said, I understand, I've been bad in the past, I get it. It was him saying, and to me, it's the league saying, this is for everything else you've done.
Well,
this is it. And I thought it was too much.
I
thought it was too much.
I absolutely think it was a slew foot. The one thing that I find completely fraudulent from the league is that, you know, they put something out there that says that after, is it a 3-year period?
I think it's 18. It's like 18 months.
Yeah, hold on. Right, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
The thing is, they're not supposed to consider any of your previous sins. However, during the video that they come out with, which I like that the NHL does that, where they explain why they gave it, they specifically mentioned one of the reasons they were giving him 3 games was because of his track record. So which is it, it's NHL?
The 18 months, if I'm... And I said this again, it's about the fining. It's not about the amount of games. And they can use...
I'm sorry, the fining, like the amount
fines
of money?
That are yes.
So
this isn't
so
about
the punishment the only counts when it comes to cash and not when it comes to something that almost matters more to the team itself, or does matter more, the suspension.
Right, and you still get fined. You miss a game, you miss
pay. I was
going
to say, you're missing your game checks, yeah.
Right, but then there's...
The fine on top of that.
Well, that's garbage. That's double talk.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree where we're at now. And there's something to say about the recidivism rate. You know, you keep doing it, but he has been clean for a while. We can argue that till we don't have enough time to do it. The reality, I don't disagree with you at all, Rich. Mm-hmm. Figure out one or the other.
Yeah.
Yes. But he's been good. He's been real good for the last couple of years. We talked about this again on Morning Brew. Did the league not like the optics of the whole New York Ranger thing with him and Panarin, and subconsciously, or maybe not even subconsciously.
It's a makeup call, you're saying?
Not so much a makeup call.
Panarin threw his gloves and right, I got pissed. Like,
just the optics. I don't know, meaning the focus. I'm throwing it out there. The league doesn't like him.
Of course not.
The league doesn't, and there's a couple of players they don't like. But the biggest thing that I have, the argument is, okay, you let P.K. Subban off the first time. It's fine. Literally with a fine. Okay. The second time, third time, $15,000 fine. I don't get that. I don't get that.
If you had fined PK one or two
games and then said to Brad, look, you've done this before. Here's the evidence and this and that. I'd have a lot easier time stomaching the three games.
Okay, so now that he's gone and Anton Bleed is injured.
We hope short term, but we don't know.
But what a weird-ass position that puts Jake DeBrusk in. Because after, it sounds like it was DeBrusk's people who leaked out that he had requested a trade.
Yes,
And you know why he did is because, obviously, after he got benched, he's like, enough. I want it out there. And it hurts the Bruins, obviously, to do that, but he can't do it anymore. So you would usually think if you're him in that situation, you leak it out, you'd be kept out of games until you get traded. But they can't do that because Providence is closed right now. They're riddled with COVID.
Four AHL teams are on lockdown, I'm told.
So completely on lockdown. You can't get guys from down there. You've got, you know, Marchand and Bleed out. So Jake DeBrusk has to play yesterday. You heard the crowd when he went out there. You know, he got booed. I wouldn't have booed the guy. I think that he's got everyone benefits with him being on another team. Maybe the way he went around it and, you know, ended up leaking it out, that wasn't quite the best move. I understand why he did it, but needless to say, fine. Bruins fans are pissed. Let him get their yayas.
Yeah.
Where is your head when it comes to this situation that they're now in with Jake DeBrusk and how none of these guys, a lot of these guys just haven't seemed to work out? Let's start with just DeBrusk.
Let's just go there because time, obviously. It's easy to sit here and say, and I would like to see it happen sooner than later. This has been something that's been out there. By the way, other teams have known about this, but now every team knows about this. And so people say, well, it doesn't help his cause. I think having an indifferent game hurts his cause more than any, really, because I think there are enough teams out there that are going to really ask about him. And maybe at first the deal isn't that much. But I also think that if the Bruins get creative and other teams get creative, the deal can be substantial. I look at this as an opportunity for the Bruins to alter their team identity, DNA a bit here. I wouldn't mind seeing a package deal of something else. We don't have time to go through. I mean, we can play hot stove all you want, but I'm saying make it a bigger deal if you can. Or if you're just going to clear Jake out, you're not going to get as much back because you're clearing cap space. And let's not forget that in a flat cap world, which we are in last year, this year, next year, cap space is basically, if you gain a lot of caps, let's just pretend they just do it. I'm just making it up for a high draft pick, whatever, second, third round pick.
Yeah, you're not taking any cash back.
That is looked at as an add-on, a value, so to speak, type of thing. But I would look at this as an opportunity. I talked on your show, Rich. Well, I talked on it months ago now about I was concerned about the identity of the defense, the group six there, not being, you know, needing more and everything. This is an opportunity to see what you can kick tires on and maybe make a bigger deal. Get something more big, so more physical, or some snarl up front. And I'm talking a guy who's fighting. I'm talking about a guy who's going to get his ass to the front of the net regularly to be in a spot where they're going to make some difference in play, what more of the Bruins need.
All right, when we come back, we have to talk about how it seems like almost out of nowhere amidst all of this, Tuukka Rask is all of a sudden back in the conversation.
And also the future of the franchise. Really the here and now, they have to make a decision on the future of the franchise.
Is it time to make a drastic change with this team? And we'll ask you about that when we get back. And Billy Jaffe, he is a Bruins analyst for Nesson and the NHL Network, and he's a hunk.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
So we will get back and talk to him about all things hockey and being hunky right after this.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
It is Toucher and Rich, and by the way, I'm feeling a little bit better because I am not only had some of our listeners reach out and thank you, but also I've looked it up, and I guess it's not the same world that I grew up in, and they do indeed make electric razors that don't jack up like a kid's face. As I said, today is the day that I have to teach my son how to shave. He asked me how to do it, and I'm terrified because, you know, I don't know how to do it. I've used an electric razor for 20 years now, and I when I used a regular razor, I would just jack up my face constantly.
So people are sending in suggestions on one that'll be good.
Yeah, like, well, just basically saying, like Adam 12, he reached out, and he said that, you know, his son, like, uses an electric razor as well, and it doesn't.
Yeah, but 12's in the same boat as Jones. Well, how often does he shave exactly?
When was the last time he saw a razor? Yeah, sorry, we saw him the other day. Come on.
Not
come
for
on.
Him.
He's been hiding out in the woods.
Yeah, I know. He does look like
a lumberjack gone wrong.
But he said for his kid, though.
Yeah, for his kid. But he does kind of look like the Twitter guy, that Jack Dorsey a little bit.
Ex-Twitter guy.
Yes, ex-Twitter guy. That's right. No longer there. But so, yeah, they're saying that I guess that they... Because I remember the first time I used an electric razor, I felt like I had ripped my entire... Like, all of my skin was being pulled off my face, and it sucked. But I guess they're saying now they make them in a way that it's not going to be
also,
a disaster.
Also, like, regular razors... Like it's counterintuitive, but isn't the amount of blades now, like, and they've gone insane. I don't know if they're still doing this trend, but they go to like 3, 4, 5 blades.
Sure. Yeah.
I feel like that, even though there's more blades, I feel like you're less likely to nick your face or cut yourself up, even though there's more blades compared to like that one straight razor that I feel like would like cut your face up.
You're right. But at least I know that if I get like an electric razor, it might hurt a little bit, but it's not going to rip up his face.
True.
which I mean, I was, as
right,
I said,
he might have a reaction or something, but
no, like every day when I went to school, not every day, I'd say like one day a week, I would have a huge slice on my face. And as I said, my skin was awful too. I had like acne. So that was the worst. So there you go. That is a thank you to our listeners for reaching out. I guess it's not the medieval torture devices that they used to be when it comes to kids. This is kind of funny. The Onion is got Mac Jones fever. Did you see this thing that they put out yesterday?
Which?
The Onion, which, of course, you know, parody newspaper online. It's titled, Critics Claim Mac Jones Just Product of Being Talented Quarterback and System with Elite Defense and Coaching. Mm-hmm. It says, slamming the rookie's success as a fluke of organizational competence, critics claim Tuesday that the Patriots quarterback Mac Jones was just the product of being a talented player in a system with elite defense and coaching. Quote, people are acting like Mac Jones is the next great franchise quarterback, but he's only doing this well because he has a complete skill set and he's surrounded by talent and coaches who know what they can expect from their players, said Bills fan Derek DeMaio, who claimed that Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes could be just as successful in a setup like Mac Jones has. Quote, you take away his accuracy, his decision makings, and the Patriots' proficiency at developing players, and he wouldn't be anything special. Just look at what having to deal with no supporting cast and a directionless, identity-less organization has done to Trevor Lawrence. That's what Mac Jones would be like if he wasn't being properly utilized and well-guided. It's all luck. At press time, Jets, Lions, Browns, Jaguars, Giants, and Bears fans were all wishing their teams could get as lucky as the Patriots seem to be with their draft picks over and over again each year. So there you go. Even the rest of the world is looking and seeing how absurd this has all become and just how unbelievable the trajectory is. Now, how far ahead is he right now in Rookie of the Year? Is he just blowing away Jamar Chase?
I saw the odds updated yesterday, but yeah, I think it's a pretty sizable lead now in terms of the Vegas.
Yeah, odds, so yes. It's basically him or bust now from what we are seeing in those odds. And I know that Bill Belichick...
Mac Jones is -300, Jamar Chase is +200.
Okay, all right.
Najee Harris +4,000, so it's really Jones and Chase. And
there
that's
you
it.
Go, quite a swing. All right, let's get to this. I don't know if you guys had yourself a good Thanksgiving. Everything go smoothly? Did you get along with your family? Everything was...
Oh, sure.
Yes. It is what it is. You plow your way through and you survive.
Well, that's a no. That's
what it is.
That's a no is what that is.
Get your face flush with Hallmark, the Hallmark Christmas movies that they're throwing at you?
Oh, no,
your
wife not has me.
Been
wa-
your
no.
wife's been watching those since Halloween, right?
Not me, no. I have no idea what you're talking about. You know what happened this morning? Nick came in and he... as he does, sets things up and gets things ready to go for the show. And he said, you know, Wallach, you'd be happy. Brittany and I watched a Hallmark movie last night. And he said, I forget the title of the movie. And he said, it's the first one we've watched. I go, oh, I know what that is. That's about the firefighter and the veterinarian and the two of them. It's a sequel to the last movie. And Nick was completely blown away. But this is what my life has devolved into. You mentioned a plot line and I could probably finish it for you.
Well,
at this point,
I could expertise
on that like 90210.
No, I'm not. No.
I can finish it for you.
Sounds like it.
You're saying like all the plot lines are different on these?
No, I'm just talking about...
The fireman gets together with the veterinarian? Oh, wow, I didn't see that one coming.
And then there's a misunderstanding a half hour before it's over, and then the two kids come back together. Yes,
Let me guess. It's a woman who has always been too busy to find true love. She lives in the big city. And for some reason, she has to find her way back to her hometown where she has completely written off all of her friends. But she goes there, and the magic of Christmas brings her towards this young, hunky guy that she didn't realize and always ignored in high school, but boy, this guy's got something.
Or maybe he ignored her.
No.
She's always ignoring him.
This is different. These two kids hooked up in a previous movie, and then she moves out. She moves away to be a veterinarian, comes back because, you see, a cat got them together in the first movie.
Sure. So, a cat?
A cat.
And it's
a cat. Well, he's a firefighter, and a cat just wanders in one day, and she, being the cat lover, that's how they get together.
He gets it out of the tree.
Now, he's dating a model, but you know those two kids aren't going to work out, so he goes for the woman who doesn't have a job.
And then there's a murder and a naked body left on the side of the road.
And wouldn't you know, everyone lives happily ever after.
Sure. And there's a...
that'd be a good Hallmark twist.
Yeah. I'd actually sit and watch that if they had a movie like
they
that.
They bond over a murder, and that's how their love really grows.
You're kind of hot.
Yeah.
There's a
standing
10 minute,
on that dead body.
Yeah. There's a 10-minute long beating that's all set to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yep.
Now that's a Tarantino twist that would be awesome.
They kind of get off on the thrill of, you know, violent crime and things like this.
What was the Reservoir Dogs one where he cuts off the ear stuck in the middle with you?
Yeah, that's right.
Something like
that. They got Santa Claus in a chair because they didn't get what they wanted for Christmas and slice off his ear. And
pull off a fingernail.
And they pull off a finger.
That's right.
That's where they all go. But at some point, I'm sure they do sing into a spatula. I'm sure that happens.
Sure.
In almost all of them. I'm sure that this mystery movie we're describing starred some sort of early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah.
Child
no,
actor.
No, actually, this is the one that didn't, but Candace Cameron has been in a bunch of these.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, she's popped up recently. Oh, yeah.
Melissa Joan Hart, I'm sure.
It's funny. They're all in one of them.
I saw
Jason Priestley in one of them. I mean, they're all in there.
I know some people down south who watch as many of those movies as your wife does.
Oh, I don't know. There's a competition. I think I'm going to win this one.
And there is one that just came out. I guess they released that. Maybe it was last year. It was going to be first year. They had a one that featured a gay couple. And all I wanted to... And I was just sitting there watching my Facebook to see the outrage.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. On the timeline.
We watch them all, but not this one.
This is a Christmas story. Christmas involves Christ, and Christ said, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Here's a meme.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for it, just to fill up my timeline. I'm sure that it's aired. As a matter of fact, I Googled it to find out what it was called, and there was one that was not the Hallmark one, but a different one that I guess made years ago called May the Yuletide Be Gay. And I'm like, why have I not seen this, and why have we not had a review? Maybe we can get your wife to review.
That's what we need. Yes.
That's a good idea.
Maybe we'll see. All right, we'll save that thing for tomorrow, because Adam Jones would just get angry about Kendrick Bourne or something in the middle of it anyway. So I think we want to avoid that. Make sure the listeners don't go crazy. All right, so Adam Jones, thank you for filling in.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Hope everything's going good with Fred.
Yep. I think he's T-minus a couple hours until he's on the water slide.
4 hours. 4 hours on. Yes.
Yep. Until it just becomes a nice little surprise for all the people around him. Maybe he will indeed leave his recorder going so he can hear all the nasty things that they're going to say about him while he's knocked out, like that one dude who won $500,000 after he sued his doctors
for all the crap they talked about him while he was out.
There's a true story. Guy won like $500,000 because they were making fun of they're calling him like syphilis penis or something like that, and it was these damages. I can't deal with it. All right, we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Bye.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go.
No match for a little...
Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench.
Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench.
And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect. On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.